Blog Talk Radio.
Going live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Millennium and Paragon Cities. This is Paragon Radio. It's Monday night, just a little bit past 8 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm your host, Fogelman. Oh, It's just a little over a week since we had that little event called DawnCon 8. And San Diego Comic-Con had their event. Can't believe it's over and done with. We had a review show last week. We went through all the news. But in the closing minutes, I found out I went into overtime. So I'm going to go over some of the last little bit of news stories that I tried to rush through. I'm sorry about that. But I'm not alone. I digress. I don't do the show by myself. No, no, no. I get by with a little help from my friends. Especially this one. Some people say he's bad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just refer to him as Mad Viking.
Meanwhile, yesterday, in a nondescript hospital, I want to tell you right now, you are the proud parents of a bouncing baby boy. And when we found out your name, I am so glad to be the one to say, here's George Jetson. The reason I say that, because if you take a look on Google, they actually have George Jetson's birth date being July 31st, 2022. So the running gag is he was born yesterday.
Well, happy birthday, George Jetson. And just thinking about
there was a you knew there was a doctor going, oh, please tell me their last name is Jetson. Please tell me their last name is Jetson. It's a girl. I don't care. It's being named George.
George. Imagine that. What's your son's name? George. Last name? Jetson. Really? And so it begins. The legacy. Imagine going home to your friend. You're not going to believe this one if I deliver today. I guess we'll go with the sad news. When I was getting ready for the show tonight, sadly, over the weekend, busy weekend, you go through the news stories Monday morning, and then you find out, I see this news story from yesterday about Saturday night. Sadly, close all hailing frequencies. We've lost a communications officer.
And a fan dancer.
And a damn good fan dancer. And perhaps the only member of the original crew who could actually sing.
Very true.
Because they all put albums out for some damn reason, and she was the only one who could sing. And a member of the, I'll just read it. So, and actually I said this because it was there. Hailing frequencies have now closed. Michelle Nichols, best known as Lieutenant Uhura in the original Star Trek TV series and the first six movies, died of natural causes Saturday night. Her son, Kyle Johnson, announced the sad news on her official website. The site quickly overloaded to capacity, and the announcement reposted on her official Facebook page. The actress had been diagnosed with dementia in 2018. Nichols began her career as a stage actress and a singer with the likes of Duke Ellington, an appearance on Gene Roddenberry's first TV series, The Lieutenant, and a brief romantic involvement with him would ultimately lead to Star Trek. There, she blazed a trail as one of the first black series regulars on American TV, part of Roddenberry's vision to show an optimistic future where racial and cultural prejudices no longer existed. On the show, she participated in what is widely believed to be the first interracial kiss between a white man and a black woman on a scripted American TV series, wherein Uhura and Captain Kirk are forced into it by powerful alien beings. Though she considered leaving the show to do Broadway, Nichols very famously changed her mind due to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a fan of the show. He met her at an NAACP event and convinced her how important it was for black people to see her in that kind of role. She subsequently stuck with Trek through all three seasons, the animated series, and six subsequent feature films. Several significant genre voice acting roles since, including the part of Alyssa Maz's mother, Diane, on Gargoyles. Like many Star Trek alumni, Nichols recorded some music albums, though, unlike some others, she could actually sing. And the firm's infamous parody song, Star Trekking, it is her impersonator who sings the chorus line, "There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow." In yep. addition to acting, Nichols became so passionate about real-life space travel that she volunteered for NASA. Working with the organization to recruit diverse astronauts, she helped to bring aboard the likes of Sally Ride. Her NASA work is featured in the documentary Women in Motion, and Uhura has become such an iconic character that she continues even after her original actress is gone. Zoe Saldana played an alternate timeline version of the character in three movies, and Celia Rose Gooding continues to play her on the prequel series Star Trek: Strange New Worlds. Michelle Nichols was 89 and an inspiration. Well, there you go. So who's left now? Kirk?
Kirk, Chekhov, Sulu.
Right,
we also lost Pat Carroll, voice of Ursula of The Little Mermaid.
Oh, the douche, you say.
Mm-hmm. And it was a triple because for sporting fans, also lost
yes.
Coach Bill Russell. So there's your three in one shot.
There you go. It always comes in threes. All right. So anyway, let's backtrack to last Monday. I know. It's sad. I just remember that fan dancing thing. I was like, what the hell is she doing?
You were complaining?
Goodness gracious. No. It was just shocking. It was just like, you heard, my goodness. What is going on here? All right. So. All right. So. These are the stories. Chudwiki Uwuji is the High Evolutionary in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn had such a blast working with Chudwiki Uwuji on Peacemaker that he quickly offered him a part in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The nature of Uwuji's role in the film has been a mystery ever since his casting was confirmed last fall. But today's during the Hall H Comic-Con panel, last Saturday, July 23rd, Comic-Con panel was a perfect time for Marvel to pull back the curtain, and they definitely went the extra mile. While discussing Volume 3 on stage in Hall H, Gunn confirmed that Uwuji is playing the villainous High Evolutionary in the upcoming sequel. As a special treat for fans, Uwuji himself later appeared from the back of the hall dressed in his character's full costume. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby introduced the High Evolutionary during their classic Thor run in the mid-60s. Despite his alien appearance, the character was actually once a human scientist named Herbert Edgar Wyndham, inspired by the work of Nathaniel Essex, a.k.a. Mr. Sinister. Wyndham began conducting his own genetic studies. Over time, he managed to create half-human, half-animal creatures called New Men, but his experiments prompted others to cast him out of society. He later took up residence at Wundagore Mountain and eventually moved his research to the outskirts of space. Okay, and I'm going to post this later because there is a short video with a High Evolutionary walking through the crowd. Would you address as the High Evolutionary looking at the crowd with disdain? I'm watching it now. And then he turns and smiles to the crowd. Look at me. I'm a High Evolutionary. You love me. Yes, you love me. So it says here, it's going to be a while before the rest of us see a trailer for Volume 3, but those in attendance were lucky enough to watch early footage showcasing several other new characters in the film. Hands down, Will Poulter's debut as Adam Warlock. Got the best friend of a pull. Finally, yes, finally. They've teased it for the first two movies. But he and Uwuji are the only ones joining the franchise next year. Gunn has also confirmed that Borat, subsequent movie film Breakout, Maria Bakalova is voicing Cosmo the Space Dog, who previously had non-speaking roles in the first two Guardians films. And Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will hit theaters on May 5th, 2023. Okay. As I quickly ran through this story last week, MODOK will appear in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Thanks to some early concept art released, we have a much better idea of how Jonathan Majors will look as Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. But it turns out that Majors won't be the only one giving Scott Lang's family a hard time. During Marvel Studios Comic-Con announcements, the studio screened exclusive footage from the upcoming sequel for the crowd gathered in Hall H. The reel notably included the familiar oversized head of, ready for this acronym, the mental organism designed only for killing, better known as MODOK. Shockingly, Marvel didn't bring out the actor playing MODOK in the film. Regardless, his arrival has been a long time coming, and Quantumania will mark the character's official live-action debut when it opens next year. In the comics, MODOK was also the leader of Advanced Idea Mechanics, or AIM for short. But this organization already exists in the MCU as the brainchild of Aldrich Killian, played by Guy Pearce from Iron Man 3. MODOK has actually enjoyed a resurgence in popularity over the last 2 years. In 2020, he appeared in video game form as the main villain in Marvel's Avengers. The following summer, Patton Oswalt brought the character to life in his own stop-motion animated series on Hulu. Unfortunately, Hulu canceled the show back in May. Boo! Boo, I say! I'm going to check it out, though. If the stars align differently, however, MODOK could have shown up in the MCU as early as 2014, because screenwriters Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely previously revealed in 2011 that they wanted George Tarleton's alter ego to star in what eventually became Captain America the Winter Soldier. They also had their eye on Peter Dinklage for the role, but once the writers decided to move the focus onto Bucky Barnes and Hydra, they abandoned these plans. Dinklage later showed up as Atri in Avengers Infinity War in 2018. Similarly, Oswald just appeared as Pip the Troll in Eternals, which would, in theory at least, rule out both actors for MODOK consideration. But since Marvel has double-dipped in their casting pool before, who knows what could happen? Ant-Man and the Wasp on the media will hit theaters on February 17th, 2023. And who do you think will play MODOK in the film?
Well, I think it might, my guess it will be voiced by Troy Baker, who will pull out one of his more famous imitation voices. Because I think that MODOK should be done by Gilbert Gottfried.
You could be right, sir. I believe you might be right. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read this story first. This was the big This was the big story I was reading, and I was rushing through it. I said, wait a minute. This story deserves to be read slow, not slowly, but just it shouldn't be rushed through. Marvel Studios laid out its plans for the multiverse saga. And as I was speeding through this thing because we were running out of time, I was like, this should be one of the stories read this week. Well, when I read it last week, it should be read next week, which is now today, August 1st. I can't believe it's August 1st, right? But because it lays out the blueprint for, like, wrapping up Phase 4 and actually goes all the way through Phase 6, okay? And it lays out every plan, including their TV shows. And I'm like, wait, this shouldn't be rushed through. This is the actual blueprint. And I'm like, I'm just speeding through it, and it's like, oh, this is coming at this date, and this is coming at that, write it down quick. Huh? Wait a minute, what is he saying? And it's on the page from last week, but I felt like we should take our time, and let's digest this one stage at a time, in the phases. Shall we do this? Okay. Let me take a drink. Let me make sure we're not going to get booted out of anything.
Because MODOK says so.
That's right.
You're not going to get that voice out of your head with that with the image of MODOK now.
Oh, I don't think we should. I think that's awesome. Let me take a drink. Oh, I took a shower before and I got water stuck in my nose. Oh, God. Okay, I took a drink. I might need some during this reading. Okay. So no one can say that Marvel Studios played it safe at its first Comic-Con panel in 3 years. Kevin F. and company not only announced all the Phase 5 titles, they revealed 3 films in Phase 6, so it only goes partially through Phase 6. More importantly, Kevin confirmed that Phase 4 was the beginning of the Multiverse Saga, and it will conclude at the end of Phase 6. So this panel went Phase 4, Phase 5, and part of Phase 6. How does it all shake out? Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, will wrap up Phase 4 on November 11th of this year. Then Phase 5 will begin February 17th, 2023. Okay. With Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, with MODOK! Possibly played by the voice of Gilbert Gottfried and Troy Baker. Okay. Then Secret Invasion will continue Phase 5 in spring 2023 on Disney Plus. The highly anticipated Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 arrives on May 5th, 2023. Echo has an unannounced release date that will fall somewhere in the summer of 2023 on Disney Plus. Then the Marvels will join forces on July 28th, 2023. Oh, our good pal Loki returns for season 2 on Disney Plus in the summer of 2023. Ironheart is also coming to Disney Plus, but not until the fall of 2023. Then the long-awaited Blade reboot will kill a few vampires on November 3rd, 2023. Agatha, House of Harkness, has a new name for the for whatever it is. It's now called Agatha, Coven of Chaos, and it will also cast its spell in winter 2023 on Disney Plus. So winter 2023 means it's not coming till late December, like the last week in December. Because think about it, winter, you know, December 21st, right. So it's got to be like that, yeah, so it's got to be the very end of December. However, we suspect the next show is the most heavily anticipated of the bunch. Ready? Daredevil Born Again is coming to Disney Plus in spring 2024. Oh, it's additionally, it will run for 18 episodes. Charlie Cox is coming back as Daredevil. We've seen that already. Now, ready for this? Sam Wilson finally headlines his own film. I think it's funny because everybody was arguing during DonCon about who was going to be Captain America. I'm like, didn't you guys watch the Falcon Winter Soldier series? Remember how it ended? Who was holding the shield?
Yep.
like, didn't you guys watch it? Who was holding the shield at the end? Who had the cool costume? Hello? Sam Wilson had the cool costume, was holding the shield at the end. He's the new Captain America. Sam Wilson finally headlines his own film in Captain America, New World Order on May 3rd, 2024. Okay. Oh, now check this one out. Closing out Phase 5, Thunderbolts on July 26, 2024.
Which version, we don't know.
Right. But Phase 6 begins on November 8, 2024. Ready for this one? Who's getting a movie? Marvel's first family of superheroes, the Fantastic Four, and it's not an origin story. So they're not, yeah, they're avoiding, they're like, fuck these origin stories. Screw that. We're just going to jump in. So what comes after the FF? There are some gaps in Phase 6. Hold on. There are some gaps in Phase 6, and so far, there are no Spider-Man or X-Men movies on the horizon. But we do know that the multiverse saga ends with two films. The first is Avengers, The Kang Dynasty, on May 2nd, 2025. And finally, the long-rumored, coming on November 7th, 2025. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. You ready?
Ready.
Avengers, Secret Wars.
Once again, which version, we don't know.
Okay, so now they've mapped out everything from now until November 7th, 2025. Are you psyched? Are you ready? Are you happy? Are you guys thrilled? And there's some holes, so there's room for another Spider-Man movie. There's some room for an X-Men movie.
No, you're going, like, they're not going to do the origin story of the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Which means they have three choices. They can go with the more recent Fantastic Four, which there was no plot. So there's plenty of writing material to be made, created.
Well, hold on. Kevin, our good friend Kevin F says, Fantastic Four. Hold on. I can do this follow-up story now. Whether by chance or design, the MCU's Fantastic Four reboot will arrive in theaters over 9 years after the franchise's last cinematic reboot. 2015's misguided Fantastic Snore was so unloved that even director Josh Trank bashed the studio cut ahead of its opening weekend. Seriously, he went to Twitter and said, please forgive what you're about to see today. He went to Twitter that morning. He did. He said it that morning. My stepsister went to see it, and she came home that night. I said, what'd you think? She goes, I call it the Fantastic Snore. I was like, oh, that's a good one. Can I use that on my show? She left. She goes, sure. It's like, oh, that's a good one. Presumably, Marvel is hoping for a better response for the next time around. Regardless, Marvel Studios head Kevin Feige, whatever, however you pronounce the name, recently told The Hollywood Reporter that the reboot won't be an origin story. That is a little surprising considering that two of the last three FF films were origin stories. That's also why Kevin feels it isn't necessary to go over it again. A lot of people know the origin story, he said. A lot of people know the basics. How do we take that and bring something that they've never seen before? He also said that...
Do it right?
He said, yeah, well, he also said we set a very high bar for ourselves with bringing that to the screen. That's because Stan Lee and artist Jack Kirby used the Fantastic Four as the launch title for what became the Marvel Universe in 1961. Back in that era, Fantastic Four was the flagship comic for Marvel that introduced numerous new characters, including Silver Surfer, Galactus, the Inhumans, Black Panther, and more. However, it should be noted that Kevin made similar remarks about Doctor Strange not being an origin story, and yet his origin is prominently featured in that film. So it's entirely possible that some aspects of the origin will be used, but it might be a few years before we know for sure. Director John Watts recently left the FF reboot in favor of working on a Star Wars series for Lucasfilm. So far, Marvel has not named a new director, but over the weekend at Comic-Con, Marvel did announce that Fantastic Four will kick off Phase 6 on November 8, 2024. So there you go. Him saying it doesn't mean it's not going to be. Okay? And I have news about the Avengers movie, the next Avengers films.
Okay.
So over the San Diego Comic-Con weekend, Marvel Studios outlined its grand plan for phases 5 and 6 of the MCU in front of a packed Hall H crowd at SDCC. Although there are still a few blind spots, all of Marvel's current projects are building toward the one-two punch of Avengers: The Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars, which will close out what's now being billed as the Multiverse Saga in 2025. Naturally, many fans are expecting Joe and Anthony Russo to direct these films, largely due to their work on Avengers: Infinity War and Endgame. But it looks like the Russos aren't returning to the franchise anytime soon. While speaking with Deadline, Kevin F. confirmed that the Russos aren't involved with the Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars. Regardless, he was quick to mention that this doesn't rule out their return to the MCU altogether. In the end, it all comes down, to finding the right movie or TV series to work on. They're not connected to it, said Kevin. They've been very direct about that. We love them. They love us. We want to find something to do together. It's not this. The Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars will formally induct a brand new team of characters into the ranks of Earth's mightiest heroes. Still, hearing that the Russos won't be there to welcome them aboard is a little surprising. The brothers began teasing the possibility of a Secret Wars adaptation as early as 2018 and even expressed a willingness to direct the movie themselves on more than one occasion. However, it should be interesting to see what other filmmakers can bring to the table. The Russo's latest film, The Gray Man, finally premiered on Netflix 2 weeks ago. Next up, the pair will turn attention to The Electric State, which stars Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt, and will reportedly begin production this fall. And as we said earlier, Avengers: The Kang Dynasty will hit theaters on May 2nd, 2025, and it will be followed by Avengers Secret Wars on November 2nd, 2025. And there you go. Oh, just give me a second. I just got to hold on. Right. Oh, God. He knows his stuff. All right. Since we're doing news, I got two more bits of news, and then I know we did this interview before, so we're going to fight. I got two more bits of news. Ready for this one? If I said Bex, that sound familiar?
Say again?
Bex.
Oh. It's clicking, but I can't say. Remember, I just woke up a few minutes ago before the even going on air.
If you were looking at a TV screen, saw a dude in sunglasses, I said, hey.
Max Headroom.
Yes. Very good. Okay, hold on. Let me just do this, and I will tell you why that's important. Because Matt Frewer, returning as Max Headroom in a new AMC reboot series, and this was announced this past Friday. Max Headroom is catching a wave into the 21st century. More than three decades after his last TV series went off the air, Deadline reports that AMC is developing a reboot with Matt Frewer reprising his role as the world's first computer-generated TV presenter. Frewer made his first appearance as a character in a 1985 TV movie, Max Headroom, 20 Minutes into the Future. In the film, which took place in a futuristic cyberpunk world ruled by corrupt corporations, Frewer starred as Edison Carter, a journalist who wanted to expose an evil TV network. While fleeing from the station's headquarters on a motorcycle, Carter crashed into a barrier labeled Max Headroom 2.3 meters and suffered a head injury. To cover up the accident, one of the network's lackeys attempted to create a digital copy of Carter's likeness, but the resulting artificial intelligence developed its own personality and begins calling itself Max Headroom. Eventually, Max becomes a host on a pirate TV station, where he delivers quick-witted social commentary amid constant glitching. 20 Minutes into the Future later spawned two TV shows, and even a series of new Coke ads featuring Max as the spokesman, effectively cementing his place as an icon of 80s pop culture. In 2007 and 2008, Frewer returned to play an older version of the character in new commercials for England's Channel 4. He also made a cameo in Pixels in 2015. The upcoming reboot hails from writer and showrunner Christopher Cantwell, who previously co-created AMC's Halt and Catch Fire. Cantwell has also written several comics for Marvel, including the current volume of Iron Man. Most recently, Cantwell served as an executive producer on Amazon's Paper Girls adaptation, which officially premiered this past Friday. Cantwell and Frewer will executive produce the Max Headroom reboot alongside Spectre Vision's Elijah Wood and Daniel Noah. All three media who hold the rights to the character are also producing the show. So here we go. He's coming back, baby. Okay, one more story. This was posted last Tuesday. It's out of SDCC 2022. Nika's 90s Nostalgia for Turtles, Gargoyles, and Dinosaurs. Let's start with the bad news from Nika. Their signature quarter-scale figures aren't coming back anytime soon, except for some re-releases. Based on feedback they've gotten, they do not believe fans have the shelf space or the budget to accommodate rising costs of that size. The company very much still wants to do superheroes, as evidenced by the surprise reveal of Owen Wilson and Michael Pena action figures from Paramount Plus's Secret Headquarters. But there's nothing new to announce from either the original superheroes line or Defenders of the Earth. The Boys, however, is also done. Black Noir will close out the line, and the proposed A-Train won't make it. Given the content of the show, owning action figures of Homelander always seemed a bit ironic. On happier notes, 90s nostalgia is very much alive and well. Nika has mined 80s fan favorites like Aliens, Predator, Terminator for all their worth. And now the next generation has disposable income. The Gargoyles line sees a massive expansion with Broadway, Lexington, Angela, Xanatos, Armored Xanatos, and Steel Clan. Damona's Folded Wings will arrive soon with another figure. Thanks to good relations with the Jim Henson Company, the popular cult puppet sitcom Dinosaurs will get new toys. Nika showcased Earl and Baby Sinclair, who will sell separately with appropriate accessories. And speaking of puppets, E.T. gets more figures for his 40th anniversary, including a deluxe figure with light-up heart and an Amblin logo biking past the moon diorama, from which the bike can detach and either display in a stand or get played with utilizing a pullback and go motor. RoboCop finally delivers a Peter Weller likeness thanks to time and money, as the actor's asking price finally came down. And long-requested figures based on The Thing continue. After years of not merchandising it, Universal decided to do so for the 40th. Universal Monsters continue with Dracula and an accessory set that includes his coffin and an armadillo. I don't get the armadillo. The Gill Man from Creatures from the Black Lagoon is next, and a special diorama hinted at Bride of Frankenstein next. In Frankenstein adjacent news, Nika also showed their Herman Munster figure from the Rob Zombie movie. But Nika these days practically runs on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and lots more will come. When the company first started with the license, Playmates rights severely restrained what Nika could do. That changed once Nickelodeon, who now owns the license, saw how much money they were making. The TV cartoon series toys continued to add many more characters, as will the comics line from The Last Ronin to the Archie comics and Mirage books. Expect all new Turtles, Shredders, Splinter, and yes, Renee in her blue costume. No new movie characters for the moment. And I will include this link because Nika has many pictures. You can see a display gallery below of some of the cool stuff they have.
Now, I'll be happy if the dinosaurs, Earl and Baby Dinosaur, kind of recreate one scene. Not the mama.
The frying pan.
One more time. I'm throwing you across the room.
Not the mama. Wow. Again.
I mean, they actually have gremlins also. Oh, I'm trying to see here. Hold on. Because I looked at it before, they're very detailed. The dinosaurs are very, very detailed. All these figures are detailed. I'm just trying to... Oh, here we go. Now, I see the baby, and I see Earl, and there's no accessories for them.
Tell you.
But they're very posable, so there you go.
All I have to do is just make a mini frying pan for the baby to hold.
That's it. I believe that's all the news I have this week.
All right.
See, when we have time to talk, I go on for about 40 minutes. Hold on a second. I just couldn't do myself for a second. See? Hold on.
And don't know if he disappeared on that one or is he just having a coughing fit?
Oh, my nose is all stuffed up. Wow.
Oh.
That was a coughing. No, it just made, I don't know. I took a shower before. There's like my nose is all, my nostrils all. I don't know if I sound it or not. I just feel it all stuffed. I don't know if I sound it or not, but. Oh, I just feel it. Sorry.
Okay, I gotta ask this one because this one hit me out of the blue.
Okay.
Has anyone seen the new cartoon? I want to say it's on Netflix because I can't remember at the moment. Jellystone.
I've heard of it. It's the one, the new Hanna-Barbera one, right?
Yeah, using the old Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Right. No, I haven't seen it yet.
All right. I know I cannot be the only one who's going like, once again, there are a few female characters in the Hanna-Barbera list. You couldn't grab them before you gender-bent famous characters.
Are they gender-bent again?
Oh, they gender-bended, yeah.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find the list here, because I was looking at it.
Okay,
like...
while you...
All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to roll call while you grab the list. Starting at City Heroes, it's myself, Mad Viking, along with Electric Sheep 64927, Pogo Spring, and Flames of Love. Over here, Champions Online in the WCOC, and we're all hanging out, over in City of Heroes, we're hanging out all the steps of City Hall in downtown Atlas Park on the Excelsior server. And over here in Millennium City in Champions Online in the WCOC studios, it's myself and Mad Viking Course with Galaxy Dancer Luna, Silver Regret, Mordicus, Natalia Cromstock, and of course, ever faithful Alan and the Teddysons. Mr. Nom Nom and hold on, Mr. Nom Nom and Clarence. I know. Oh my God, I almost forgot the name. Good Lord, I know my nose and stuff. It's putting pressure on my brain.
All right, here are a list of the famous Hanna-Barbera characters that made the cut to Jellystone.
Okay.
I will say if they're still original, just weirdly drawn, or they gender bent. Yogi Bear, same. Boo Boo, same. Cindy Bear, yes. Ranger Smith, still the same. Winsome Witch.
Wait. You said Cindy Bear, yes. She's gender bent.
Cindy Bear is still there.
Oh.
Huckleberry Hound, still Huckleberry. Mr. Jinx, okay. Snagglepuss, all right. El Capon, Quick Draw does not exist.
What?
Quick draw McGraw, the original guy. Yeah. But El Kabong. All right. So I'm like, okay, all right. A twist. Not bad. Everyone kind of likes everyone likes El Kabong. I can live with that. Augie Doggy. Gender bent.
To what?
Doggy Daddy is, obviously Doggy Daddy. Yeah, no, but Augie Doggy is now the daughter. Yaki Doodle.
Rubbish.
Gender bent.
To what?
A female.
I know that, but what's the name?
Yaki Doodle.
Oh, bullshit.
They're keeping the names for most part. Shag Rug, he's still good. Rough and Ready, still good. Lamsey Divey, yep. Ding-a-ling Wolf, still there. Captain Caveman and KV Jr. Top Cat, a good portion has been changed. Betty the Bell is still the same. Choo Choo is now gender bent. Brain, gender bent. Fancy Fancy, I got to remember here. And Spooky, gender bent. The King, the Fonzie, like where they were the Cats Do Dance, who rivaled Top Cat.
Right.
All right, so there's Big H, Clyde, Skids, and Yucca Yucca. They're all the same. Touché Turtle. There's a name. See who remembers Touche Turtle.
Yes.
Yippee Yappy Yahooey.
Yes.
Is a girl.
Oh, good lord.
McGilla Gorilla.
Yeah. No.
McGilla. But Jabberjaw.
Wait. Okay.
Curly
Jabberjaw
is no longer there. Jabberjaw's a girl.
Oh, come on.
Loopy the Loop.
Jabberjaw's? Wait. Jabberjaw is still Jabberjaw.
It's still Jabberjaw.
But it's a female.
Yeah.
But it's a female. Oh,
yep.
Come on.
Loopy the Loop. Now female. Doggy Daddy. Yeah, we already said it was there. Peter Ponimus. Yep. So-so. Interestingly, the monkey of Peter Ponimus, voiced by George Takei.
Okay.
All right. Squiddly Diddly. Gender bent. Shazam, the genie.
Yes.
Oh, they're good. Johnny Quest and Haji.
Yes.
They're good. The Rug family. Yeah, well, they're all depicted as they're supposed to be. Chopper.
Okay.
Now female. Morocco Mole. Still good.
Yes.
Captain Caveman, I already said. Wally Gator.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Louie. Not Bubba, Bobby. You can guess what happened.
Yes.
The Banana Splits are now the villains.
Really?
Thank you for that horror movie, guys.
Oh, the movie, right, because of the movie. Yeah.
They're now villains.
How could they? That's
hardened cartoonish criminals that clash with El Kabong. Yep. Grape Ape is still Grape Ape. Granny Sweet. Here's another one that he might go, Bristle Hound from the Chattanooga Chats. Lippy the Lion and Hardy Har Har. They are now a Jewish couple. Hardy Har Har, gender bit. Bildu the Wolf is still Bildu. Brenda Chance, Dee Dee Sykes, Taffy Gare, the Teen Angels of Captain Caveman. Pixie and Dixie.
All right.
Dixie is gender switched.
Goodness gracious.
Quickie Koala.
Still Quickie?
In question.
Hydrogenous?
No, just hasn't been enough play
to figure it out.
Oh, not enough airtime? Okay.
Right. You know, they're still going through the next this season. So they had pictures.
If you told me it was more like an anime character, you know, like anime heroes, it's like, we can't tell if it's a guy or a girl.
No. Speed Bucky. Tinker. Yep, okay.
Oh, I was going to say.
Jay Wimple Nipple.
Speed Bucky is a Speed Bucky. You can't tell anyway.
Yeah. Adamant.
Yes.
Though rarely seen in the series, he was wearing a bikini in one of the episodes as a round girl, holding the card for the next round of a match.
Of course.
Snooper and Blabber. Snooper is female. Blabber now has facial hair.
Okay.
Dirty Dog. Is still Dirty Dog. Okay. Hokey Wolf. Still there. The Hair Bear Punch has been spotted. The CB Bears have been spotted. Let's see. Axel. Baby Puss. The Biscuits. Fred Flintstone has been spotted. The Club. Mr. Peebles has been spotted. Quackup has been spotted. Neptune.
Okay.
Bleep. From Josie the Pussycat in Outer Space.
Well, we never knew what Bleep was, so you can't say either way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We never. It was just bleep, 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 bleep. You can't tell from that, so.
Yeah. There's no tell on that one, so. That gets a pass. Bleep is Bleep.
Bleep can be asexual. I always thought Bleep was asexual to begin with, so that was just.
Glump. Stegosaurus from the Valley of the Dinosaurs. The Chattanooga Cats,
right.
As I said, they're there. The right. Funky Phantom.
Was a guy. Guy, but, you know.
He just had the same voice as Snagglepuss.
Yeah, exactly. It was Snagglepuss with a...
Let's see. Mitor. Another wrestler.
That was a guy.
Gravity Girl is still Gravity Girl.
Okay.
The Great Gazoo.
You had Gravity Girl. That's the Galaxy Trio. Wait, you mentioned Gravity Girl. That's the Galaxy Trio.
Well, there's two others. I haven't seen their names yet. Hold on. Yankee Doodle Pigeon. Clunk from Dastardly and Muttley and Their Flying Machines.
Right.
Xandor from the Herculoids. Gloop.
Right.
Gloop is a girl.
I always
Space
thought,
Ghost.
You know what? Wait. You know, I thought Gloop was the big one, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was the mother anyway.
Right.
Because it was Gloop and Gleep. What was Gloop and Gleep? Or what was it?
It was Gloop and Gleep, yeah.
I thought Gloop was the mom and Gleep was the baby. So that made sense. So.
Right. Moby Dick, still there. Barney Rubble,
right.
Of course. Weirdly
right.
Gruesome. Dino, Orbity, but they are playground toys.
Okay.
You know, so I'm going like, no, don't tell me they stuffed them. No. Zorak has been spotted. Brack has been spotted. Secret Squirrel. Inch High.
Private
Red
Eye.
Red Baron. Hilarious P. Prankster. Creeper.
Okay.
Scare Bear.
From
Sky
the Care
Pirates. Bear? No, Scare Bear from Yogi Space Race and the Galaxy Goof-Ups.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, one who sounds like Woody Reject Curly Joe. That one.
Right. Okay, yes.
All right, the Sky Pirates.
Okay.
Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt.
Tell me they're still guys.
Yep, so far.
Okay.
Mr. Hothead and Moldar.
From Space Ghost, coast to coast.
Yep. But I'm going like, there are so many female characters they missed.
Right. That you don't need to gender bend. They have plenty of female characters they could have just thrown in the show.
That always annoys me.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, you know, you have Captain K-Man, you had brought in the Teen Angels. Okay, you get that.
All
right,
yeah.
Josie
right.
and the Pussycats. Oh, my freaking God.
You have enough females there. The guys were, like, outnumbered in that show.
The guys were actually more like, they were off to the side.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that had more interest was Alex because he was kind of the comedy relief when you needed the running, you know, the Shaggy wannabe.
Right, right.
And the other guy was just bland as all hell.
Well, he was the Fred wannabe, so.
Mm-hmm.
He was Josie's love interest, so.
Still bland.
I know he was. Because Fred was useful on Scooby-Doo, but this guy was just... Oh, well.
Pussycats are Archie's characters. Yeah, but since the Archies were all the way into Filmation, you know, for the Archies shows and Sabrina, well, they nabbed Josie and the Pussycats real fast.
Yeah. That's what I always thought they were. I mean, they did a crossover the one time or a team up the one time. I was like, oh, look. They're twins.
Because you will note the guitar playing, the drum playing, and the tambourine playing were totally different compared to Archie's and Josie.
Oh, yes.
Josie,
they were opposite,
Josie,
yes.
Melody, Josie and the Pussycats. They look like they were actually playing. Meanwhile, you have Archie moving left, right, left, right.
Well, it was the artwork. Yes, yeah, it was the artwork. Yes. It was the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, again, there were so many characters Hanna-Barbera's had. And female.
Yes, male and female. I don't see why they have to gender bend. I guess it's a new thing to do with this. That's 2020s.
Now, if they said these were the, the next
the
generation,
offspring.
Their kids,
right.
offspring. Okay,
right.
We can
That's
live with that
different.
One.
That's different. Right. It's the offspring. But if it's not, it's just them. And, it's just, I don't get it, kids. I don't get it. I don't get it.
And it's like, people like us, Generation X, baby boomers are right. going, what? No.
Yeah.
No. This is wrong.
It's just...
I mean, how many episodes can we find where one of these characters, we're chasing women?
Yeah.
Hell, Jabberjaw alone was chasing the one girl that always complained that he smelled like fish from the Neptunes, the brunette. Tell me I'm wrong.
That's right. No, you're right.
But they couldn't even do the curly. They couldn't even do curly. Not even
that's
one
easy to do.
No respect.
That's easy to do.
Took away the signature line.
Well, I won't be watching that show.
Well,
I mean,
what? First thing, you got to watch it to go, really? You look at the artwork.
Yes.
I would say the 1968 Hanna-Barbera put more effort into the artwork than the animation. Yeah, and Jellystone is the other way around. There's more animation than there is artwork.
I'm bringing it in. I don't think it's in here.
Yeah, but like I said, if you check it out, if you have to, you don't want to see the whole thing, you know, they're on YouTube,
just check
there
out
are clips.
Right, right.
what's next? There's, you know, Tiny Toons did it best. They were
right.
The next generation.
And some of their episodes are brilliant.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, when they had celebrities on, like, I love the old Looney Tunes. When they did the old celebrities and they made fun of them. And this one, it was like Mike Tyson was on. They drew him like a bull. And little David, it's the champ. Hey, champ, what do you have to eat? I have a salad, a baked potato, and a steak. I'm in training. And he did Mike Tyson's voice. And he looks like, who would have figured such a big guy has a voice like that?
Yeah. Like I said, Tiny Toons did it best. Jellystone.
They got lazy. It's Netflix. Let me put it like this. They had MST3K, and MST3K decided to leave after its second. No, they got rid of it after its second season because, MST3K, you can't stream it. You missed the point of the show. You're not supposed to stream it. Is that,
Galaxy
that,
Dance
that's
Luna. I just saw the Jellystone art. Oh, my God!
Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, who drew? I remember seeing the advertisement for it. I thought it was going to be on Cartoon Network, like, early morning for the kids. I was like, oh, my God.
Like I said, the early stuff, they put a lot of art in the artwork and less in the animation because it was the time. That was it, you know, and it improved in the 70s.
Yeah.
With Yogi's Ark. Best example right there. And then you get to Jellystone.
Oh.
What
happened? We regressed totally. We regressed. He dumbed it down. But I'll tell you what. I'm taking the walk into the tomb.
Oh, it's that time.
I'm going to get the tome. Folks, you want to talk about dumbing down. I know we haven't done this in a few weeks, but it's time to make up for it. I'm going to read you some excerpts about some half-baked heroes from comic book history. You know, there's really cool heroes from the Avengers, the X-Men, the Justice League. But not these guys. No. These guys can be members of a group called the League of Regrettable Superheroes. Trust me, you'll feel better about yourself after I read you some of these. First, we're going to the Golden Age. This one was created by Carl Burgos, debuted in Amazing Man number 5, sent to our publications September 1939. Name sounds like a decent heavy metal band, something Indiana Jones might be looking for. A quote, I can't say I'm sorry. I had to wreck your floor with my head. I refer to the Iron Skull.
Okay. Sounds
Darren
like
Skull,
a good idea.
Sounds like a good idea. Yes. Darren Skull may have the privilege of being the second robot superhero in comics. After we talked about Bozo previously from the Golden Age. Or possibly the first cyborg superhero in the medium. It's hard to say for sure what accolade he's most deserving of because the stories themselves are awfully unclear on what exactly the Iron Skull is. At least we know this much. His skull is made of iron. Although the Iron Skull never receives an origin per se, readers are introduced to a sketch of his backstory in one introductory caption, which highlights the essential points. A former soldier, badly wounded, has most of his body, and specifically his skull, replaced with metal equivalents. The result of the surgery is a man who looks exactly, quote-unquote, like a living image of a skeleton. Not quite true, although the grim visage skull did cut an imposing figure, but whose body houses the terrific powers bestowed upon him by his mechanical parts. The skull's metallic nature was disguised by a quote-unquote lifelike rubber mask. His manufacturers clearly cut a few corners, with a triangular cutout where his nose was supposed to be. The stern figure resembled a blonde-haired jack-o'-lantern in a blue suit, as much as he did a robot. The resemblance was enhanced when, in later appearances, the Iron Skull traded in his suit for a snazzy superhero costume, complete with skull and crossbones insignia, and sported a completely shaved head. The Iron Skull's adventure, yes, took place in the far future of 1970, a pessimistic 20 years after the end of World War II. The depictions of the distant era had a habit of changing from one story to the next, so that the Iron Skull's future world had a touch of Buck Rogers' What Issue, and seemed indistinguishable from contemporary 1940s America the next. Eventually, all references to the future setting were dropped. A new writer began to pen the Skull's adventures, and he apparently didn't get the memo about where the action was taking place. As for powers, the Skull briefly developed the ability to communicate mentally with New York District Attorney, the better to be on the lookout for crime, and he somehow acquired the ability to fly around the same time he picked up a distinctive costume. For the most part, his power was smashing his head through things. In any given story, the Iron Skull might take three or four distinct opportunities to validate his non-de-guerre, dashing through walls, busting up machinery, knocking out 20-foot-tall women, even drilling through floors and ceilings using only his reinforced noggin. Not that he was above using his metal fist and feet to wreak a little havoc. Hold on. Now and again, too, Wreak a little havoc now and again, too. The Iron Skull didn't discriminate about his means of destruction. He just had an image to maintain. Though literally hard-headed, the Iron Skull wasn't stubborn enough to stick around after his series ended. A revival attempted in the 1990s fizzled, possibly because it was difficult to find an audience for such an oddball character. And as an editor's note, for a while, the Iron Skull possessed a ring that would leave a skull-shaped impression on any crook he slugged, a gimmick he may have picked up from that purple-clad jungle hero, the Phantom.
Started off great, and then,
yeah, started out good, and well, there you go. All right, so now we go to the Silver Age. Good Lord. All right, so this one was created by Jerry Siegel and John Buscema. Debuted in Nature Boy number 3, Charlton Comics, March 1956, issue oddity. Nature Boy took over the numbering of Fireman hero Danny Blaze's title. Okay, his quote, let her rip. I'm referring to Nature Boy, and I'll be in Ric Flair, who had his last match on this past weekend, on the 31st. Yesterday, last night, too. All right, Jerry Siegel's most famous creation, with artist Joe Shuster, was, of course, Superman. But he also created dozens of other less popular superheroes, including the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy, Robot Man, Mr. Muscles, the Spectre, and Nature Boy. The story of Nature Boy begins in a private plane tossed by terrible winds over a rocky sea. Inside, Myra Crandall snaps her husband, Floyd. You were out of your mind to take the baby and me along on a sky joyride, despite weather warnings. No time for recommendations, retorts her husband, as the plane nosedives into the tumultuous waves below. Floyd and Myra are rescued by a passing fishing boat, but baby David is nowhere to be seen and is assumed drowned. That is, till he shows up unharmed at the front door of the Crandall family estate, only moments later, delivered on a gust of wind. That seems reasonable so far. What happened in the interim? It seems that baby David's sinking form was intercepted by a council of gods who were hanging out underwater for no apparent reason. Taking pity on the poor infant, the deities adopt him as their own and then return him to his family home. Evidently, adoption means something different to supernatural figureheads. David grows up to become Nature Boy, a crusader for good, entrusted with a fraction of the powers of the adopted godparents, only a few of whom were familiar to anyone who gave Edith Hamilton's mythology a passing glance. There's the well-known Neptune, but also Gusto, god of the air, Fura, ruler of fire, Eartha, who, predictably enough, rules the earth, and then Allura, Azura, Electra, and Phrygia, who command the realms of love, sky, electricity, and cold. His title also featured the appearance of Nature Man, possibly Nature Boy as an adult, and Nature Girl, who protected the jungle by wielding the powers of gravity. Unusual for a superhero, Nature Boy needed to appeal to his benefactors to deliver the tools to fight crime and injustice, lightning bolts, which he was able to ride, powerful winds, earthquakes, and so on. Pretty much the only power David seemed to have acquired on his own is the ability to change back and forth between his heroic and civilian identities, which he does in a flash, accompanied by his genuinely odd, if enthusiastic exclamation, "Let her rip!" He was, in short, one of the few superheroes who had to ask permission to use his powers. Oh, that's it. Okay. Good Lord. All right. And now we go to the modern age. Oh, it's one of our favorites.
Oh, no.
We know this one.
Oh, no.
All right. This one was created by Steve Ditko and Will Murray. This hero debuted in Marvel Superheroes Volume 2, Number 8, Marvel Comics, January 1992. You know the sidekicks. When I mention the sidekicks, you're going to know who this is. Adorable creatures named Monkey Joe, Tippy Toe, Slippy Pete, Mr. Freckle, and Nutso.
Oh, no.
Most are dead now. That's right. This hero's, quote, nuts.
Oh, no.
Any guess?
Get it out. Get it out.
Go ahead. You want to take a guess?
I'm actually blanking on the name. I want to say Four Bushman for some reason.
No.
Yeah. But I recognize the sidekicks. I go like, oh, no.
Okay, so who is it?
I can't remember. Once again, I'm blaming the sleep.
You don't remember the name of our favorite West Coast Great Lakes Avenger?
Squirrel Girl.
Silvery Grant said it. Yes, Squirrel Girl. I can't believe she's in the book. How could they? What a tragedy. Didn't she take on Galactus or Thanos? Well,
Galactus,
we'll get to
Thanos,
it.
Dr. Doom.
Yes. We'll get to it. So in 1992, the once colorful landscape of superhero comics had taken on a grim cast. The trend had been triggered by the release 6 years earlier of Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns and Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' collaborative year-long deconstruction of the superhero genre, Watchmen. The critical and commercial success of these comics milestones gave superhero comics, which had been flirting with an increasingly large adult readership over the better part of two decades, permission to become really serious. In short order, death and depression infiltrated the superhero landscape. Former bad guy, the Punisher, racked up an impressive body count as a popular anti-hero. Old weirdo characters like Doom Patrol and Shade the Changing Man were reinvented in tableaus of intense psychological trauma. Even Batman's youthful psychic Robin, well, one of them anyway, became a victim of fatal supervillain violence. Into this gritty environment came Squirrel Girl, created by writer Will Murray as an antidote to the perceived bleakness running rampant in Marvel Comics' multitude of X-Men-related titles. Doreen Green, optimistic young do-gooder and novice mutant superhero, possessed powers of both the family charade and positive thinking. She boasted the relative strength, speed, and talents of squirrels, much as Spider-Man possessed arachnoid attributes, as well as a bushy prehensile tail, claws, and the ability to communicate with her furry fellows, aided by her squirrel sidekicks with names like Monkey Joe and Tippy Toe. Squirrel Girl proved to be a surprising, powerful crime fighter. In assorted battles, she managed to stand her own against major Marvel menaces as MODOK, Thanos, and Doctor Doom. Despite an impressive win-loss record, it was almost a decade before Squirrel Girl's second appearance, this time in the company of Z-list Midwest American superhero team, the Great Lakes Avengers. Still, Squirrel Girl's bubbly, optimistic, and arguably frivolous presence seemed to recall a brighter time in superhero history, when stories were less rooted in real-world consequence. Accordingly, her popularity has grown among a dedicated core of supporters. In subsequent appearances, she racked up impressive additional wins against more of Marvel's ominous opponents, including the Titanic and Bang Boom, the Cosmic Terax, and, well, the Bi-Beast, a guy with two faces. Marvel is planning to give her a title of her own in 2015. In 2015 she got her own title. An impressive feat, considering how rarely she appeared in print. Let's hear it for Squirrel Girl. She's in this book, but she's a hero to us. And that, ladies and gentlemen, closes the book this week of the tome in the tomb known as the League of Incredible Superheroes.
And they're saying Lily the AT&T girl is possibly going to play her in the MCU.
I can see her. Well, she played a werewolf not too long ago. Lily, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and in City of Heroes, Hell Lord Satan has joined us on the steps of City Hall.
There we go. We got it one time when Alto comes around, we got to tell the story of Four Bushman, just so he knows.
Yes, yes. And I want to bring something up. I'm wearing my costume this week over on Champions Online. Yeah, you know it. We got to talk about it. Because Friday night was another Devs costume contest. And it just seems like every time they give you the rules of the costume contest, of what they're looking for, and it always seems like the winners, half the winners are picked based on the criteria for the costume. And then half of them are picked.
I remember most of them had a god issue. It's Neon Gods.
Right. It's right. Like, it's both Neon Gods was the topic. And then half of them are just like, oh, that's really funny. Or that's really cool. Had nothing to, like, it was a god, had nothing to do with the category.
Or Neon.
They weren't even Neon. Nothing Neon at all. And it was like, you win because we just think it's really cool. Like, what does that have to do with the category? You know, it's more like, instead of you've got the best costume based on the category, it's you've got the best costume because we think it looks cool. And the hell of the category.
And to paraphrase Mel Brooks, it's good to be the devs.
But again, it's why even bother dressing? You know, just come with a costume that looks cool and funny that they're going to laugh about. And don't even You know, don't even bother following their criteria. Just dress as something funny, make a new character, the level one, go through the training thing, get to level six, make something witty. You know what you do? This is how you want a dev. I figured it out finally. Making a new character. Make a name that's a pun. Make a costume that's hysterical. Not even that. Just make sure your name is a pun, a really funny pun. Okay? Make a costume to go with the pun. Get to level six and show up. Okay? And that's all you have to do. And that's how you guarantee yourself.
Well, remember, you know, when I did the, you know, for the Street Justice one, they're going like, we have a tune that looked exactly like Mad Viking. You do? There were several of our listeners who go, really? I got to see this. And looked around. Couldn't find one NPC, you know, that runs up and talks to you or walking around or standing around that looks like my tune. To this day, I will keep going to the death. Yeah, I cry shenanigans.
Yeah, it's like, well, wait. Why are you giving the prize to something that looks like Mad Viking when Mad Viking's in the costume contest as Mad Viking? That's like, oh, Matt Mercer told a story one time. He's the DM for Critical Role. And he's a voice actor. He tried out for a part. The people there said, you know what? We don't want Matt Mercer, but we want somebody to voice act like Matt Mercer. And it was like, well, why the hell didn't you just hire Matt Mercer then?
They
want somebody. It's like, if you want somebody with somebody's voice who just tried out, like, you know what? We want somebody with that sounds like him. And, okay, you want somebody that sounds like him, and the guy just tried out, right? Why not just hire the guy? Who was just there?
Because of money, I guess.
Yeah, because he was there. He goes, it's the weirdest thing. They had him read like two pages, right? And then he sent it out as samples. And then one of these unknown actors, voice actors, to read it. And he goes, wait a minute. You're not hiring me. Or they paid him for reading those two pages, but they would hire him to do this whole script. It's like, what? So, there you go. All right. So, Silver Grit says, the one who plays Lily as the AT&T spokeswoman was going to play Squirrel Girl in a Freeform series, but I got canceled. I believe that. But she's a really funny actress. So, we got 7 minutes left.
Yep.
So what is your take on the costume? Is that a fair assessment of what I said about the DevCC?
Well, remember, when I'm there, I'm providing a whole bunch of music.
Right.
Yeah, so but I don't really always, take
you
a
don't
look.
See, so you don't see it. Yeah,
right.
It just seems like it. When you go to Twitch TV and watch what they're doing, it's like everyone, what's the guy? What is the Kale or Kayzerian? Which is the Master Kale or Kayzerian? Which is the guy?
Kale.
Kale. Almost everyone that Kale says is really funny winds up winning. That's how I know they're going to win. Like, son of a bitch, he's going to win. That one's going to win. I can write them down, and it's like, oh, he won. Oh, that one. And sure enough, might not even be the best costume. As long as it's funny to him, it's like, are you serious? It's like, what the hell did that have to do with anything?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Apparently my neon new god wasn't enough. Apparently, my tribute to Jack Kirby and Stanley wasn't enough to win. Am I not neon enough for you? I even have the Kirby crackle going.
That's the reason why.
Am I not enough for you? Look
you're
at me.
A copyright infringement of the song.
The all right. That's it. I will stop everybody. I will smash everybody. Oh, well.
Needless to say, you can tell there was no updates from Ship of Heroes nor City of Titans.
Once again, no City of Titans update. Yeah, no Ship of Heroes. So no drinking game this week, folks. We're sorry.
Yeah, no hyphen.
Hold on. Here you go. Oh, hold on. The DevCC was bull hyphen shite. Drink. There you go. I gratuitous drink. There you go.
They love their hyphens, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, my neon God. There, have another one.
And we both have AK again.
I just fixed it like a minute ago.
We always have AFK on our heads. We're on two games.
There. Okay.
All right, 3 minutes to go. August, there is no holidays.
Yeah, August 30th, we have a holiday.
But I'm talking about us for a reason to be called out, like
right.
Labor Day,
Right. August 24th is my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
God. Okay. I have to talk to DJ Coconut about switching days with me for the 10th anniversary of the show. Let's just get in touch there about that. Oh, Silver Regret. August 5th is Silver Regret's birthday. That's Friday. So I'll early happy birthday, Silver Regret. Happy birthday in case we don't see you on your birthday.
All right, with the remaining 2 minutes, let me just see if there was a silly holiday. Let's see.
Okay. And with 2 minutes left, I want to say to everybody, go read those comic books.
Today is Spider-Man Day.
When is? Today?
Today.
Oh, well, happy Spider-Man
Day. Today is
Spider-Man Day. I was going to say, go read those comic books. Go read those superhero novels if you have any. Go watch those superhero movies, TV shows, such as Spider-Man No Way Home that just came out on Starz.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome movie. Go watch some Spider-Man movies tonight if you have the time, or tomorrow. Go watch the trilogy. 60 seconds left. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking, before we...
Okay, Greatest Generation coming on Dawn Radio Live real soon, and say goodnight, Greasy.
Good night, Gracie, and really quickly, if I could find it in time, please donate to my, I got to do this sooner. I actually wrote up I'm just going to do this locally really quick. Do I have to do this quickly? Can you put this in the other one?
All
right. In City of Heroes. For me. All right, 10 seconds left. Please donate to my extralife.org charity gaming. It's for the children. We're trying to raise $1,002 this year to make $1 more than last year. I had a promo. I'm going to record it this week from Ed Viking. I should have read it on air, but we... my nose all stuffy. I got sidetracked. I'll record it tomorrow once my nose is not as stuffy, so... And good news on air, Mom came home today. Love you, Mom. Talk to you in a few minutes. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next time. Please stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast. And stay tuned for dawnradio.live. Embrace the dawn. I think we're done. Yeah, we're done. Okay, great show. I'm going to head out, and I will turn it over to you, sir.
All right.
All right, have a good night. Great show.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right, well, let me say goodnight to Wolfie. Thank you, Little Wolfie, for hanging out with us. Good night. Great show. I'll talk to you later.